Welcome to Talking News. We are delighted to have you with us, listening to our presentation by members of the Beach Street Center, Marion, Jonathan, and Martha. We will be reading local news and happenings from the community newspapers. Modular classroom facility ready by Joanna Tsoubelis. Chenery Middle School students and staff will soon begin using the 6 new modular classrooms located about 30 feet from the existing school building on top of the tennis courts. The town purchased the 6,600 square foot modular facility from Triumph Modular for $852,797 using free cash, according to Director of Facilities Gerald Boyle. The cost of installing the utility connections was an additional $243,862, and the fire alarm cost $57,387,000. They were delivered in 7 parts on September 24th and are expected to be ready for students and staff to use the week of January 9th. The addition of the modular classrooms is one of several steps being taken to address massive enrollment growth in the Belmont School District, which has been about 100 students per year since 2011, according to Superintendent John Phelan. "These are the 6 nicest classrooms in the district," said Boyle. "Each classroom is equipped with its own smart board, whiteboards, and tack boards. The exterior red siding on the structure was purposely chosen by Boyle to coordinate with the existing Chenery building. The building is also equipped with a total of 4 public restrooms, 2 for male and female students, and 2 for the male and female staff. It has a central air and forced hot air throughout. The sewer, water, and power lines are connected to the existing lines on the street. There are 2 entrances to the building. One will be used to enter and the other to exit. Each entrance has a handicap accessible ramp. The building had to be placed a minimum of 30 feet away from the existing building due to the fire code requirement and prevent obstructing the existing fire lane. In cold and wet weather, students and staff will have to dress accordingly when traveling from the school to the modular building. Buying the structure is more cost-effective than renting it, according to Boyle. The building will be used for at least 5 years. Jonathan?
A taste of Denmark's sweet delights may be coming to Belmont by Joanna Tsoubelis. The Danish pastry house almost seems hidden on a quiet industrial side street in Watertown, but the mouthwatering, sweet, warm fragrance of bread and cake baking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year quickly gives its location away. This is one of the only places in the New England area which makes authentic Danish pastries, bread, and desserts such as Spandauer, what most Americans know as Danish, Kringle, flaky pastry filled with remonce, which is almond paste and butter filling topped with toasted almonds, Flot de Bol, a chocolate-covered macaroon base, topped with meringue, and Krasigage, stacked rings of marzipan. They've been crafting these delights since 2004. Since becoming the owner 3 years ago, Adrian Dennis credits his staff his success as the wholesale retail bakery and catering business. "My secret weapon is the people I have working here. They are pure gold. Without them, nothing could be done," he said. Born in Venezuela, He grew up entrenched in his family's bakery business. Opening his own bakery was always his dream, and he hoped to expand in the new year. He loves Belmont and has his eye on a location, but is still in the early stages of the process. Marketing manager Rachel Fearon has visited Denmark many times since taking on her role 3 years ago, and said she is amazed at how authentic their products taste. A customer from Denmark told her that she no longer needs to fill her suitcase with bread every time she visits her homeland, now that she can buy the same product from the Danish pastry house. Their rye bread is very popular because it is thick, seedy, and dense, great for open-faced sandwiches, another Danish specialty. She said the company wants people to experience handmade, high-quality baked products made from scratch without having to go to Boston or New York. Their new logo is a golden crinkle topped with the historic crown symbolizing the Royal Baker's Guild, the same official symbol visitors will see on every bakery in Denmark, said Fearon. Marion?
Becca Peasy reflects on 2016 and shares her hopes for 2017 by Joanna K. Zouvelis. It's not every year someone wins 7 marathons in 7 continents in 7 days, has a town proclaim a day named after them, and gets engaged in front of the fans at a Boston Red Sox game at Fenway Park. Belmont resident Becca Peasy accomplished all this in 2016 and said she feels thankful and lucky for everyone who has supported her dream. It was an incredible year. I took a chance of a lifetime and laid my dreams out there in front of everyone. Having my hometown of Belmont and my family support me and rally for me meant the world to me, she said. Since returning home from 2016 World Marathon Challenge, Peasy has been very busy attending events in her honor, such as the Welcome Home Parade. On February 4, when Belmont officially proclaimed the day as Becca Peasy Day in Belmont, she appeared as a guest on CBS and with Nora O'Donnell and WBZ News, and was even mentioned and depicted on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Peasy was also recognized at the State House by the House of Representatives. She received a Globee Award with Boston Red Sox player David Ortiz, became an ambassador for activewear designer Lululemon, and was sponsored by Newton Running, Cool Core, Ultima Replenisher, Leon Waugh Auto Group, Belmont Savings Bank, and John Hancock. She also founded the Becca Peasy Family Fun Run on April 10th, a 5-kilometer foot race, which will be an annual event in Belmont. This year it will take place April 30th. Proceeds are donated to a foundation set up in her name by Belmont Savings Bank and the Belmont Boosters, which will benefit 2 graduating Belmont High School seniors. Despite her newfound fame, Peasy still owns her own daycare and manages Moosey's Ice Cream in Belmont, which now has a popular flavor named after her, the Becca 7. My life is like a puzzle, fitting everything in, but I love all that I do so it doesn't feel like work, she said. She runs 6 days a week in all weather and every Tuesday at 5 a.m. at the Belmont High School track. She meets with members of her Belmont Run Club, which she founded 2 years ago. She had several personal accomplishments in 2016, including getting engaged to Joe Stillwell in front of thousands of people after throwing the first pitch for the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park on April 17th. In 2017, she is looking forward to spending quality time with her 9-year-old daughter, Taylor, running more marathons, including the Boston Marathon, on April 17th, and getting married. She is also working on a children's book and plans to donate all proceeds. Anything is possible, and it truly takes a village. A huge thank you to the community, my family, and everyone who believed in me, said Peasy. Martha?
Future schools start date debated by Chris Warren. Belmont's policy of beginning the school year on the first Wednesday of September may be changing. Much of the December 13 school committee meeting was devoted to discussing this agenda item, with a vote scheduled to take place at the next meeting on January 10th. Up for debate, is it best for students to begin the school year before or after Labor Day, or is a flexible schedule based on when Labor Day falls in the school year the best policy? Based on a memorandum prepared by Assistant Superintendent Janice Darius, survey results to the question, do you support starting school prior to Labor Day, regardless of when it falls, or religious holidays, yielded 1,478 responses from parents, guardians, and school employees, with 53% responding yes and 47% no. However, drilling down further into the survey results, 65% of Belmont Public School District employees supported a pro-Labor Day start, whereas 50% of parents and guardians supported the idea. Committee members also seemed divided on this question. Member Susan Burgess Cox said there are social and emotional learning benefits to starting the school year the Wednesday before Labor Day, followed by the long Labor Day weekend, allowing students to ease into the new school year and alleviate some of the anxiety they may be feeling. Member Andrea Prestwich, indicating she was leaning toward keeping the school start date as is for the 2017-18 school year, which would be Wednesday, September 6th, 2017, and moving toward changing the school start date to the Wednesday before Labor Day in the future, also citing CEL in the future. Benefits mentioned by Burgess Cox. At the request of member Elise Schuster, the committee also considered a flexible policy such as the Weston Public School District policy, which states that when Labor Day occurs prior to September 5th, the start date for students will be the Tuesday after Labor Day. When Labor Day occurs on September 5th or later, the start date for students will be the Wednesday before Labor Day. Jonathan?
Unsafe lead levels detected at schools. School taking all necessary precautions by Joanna Souvelis. 14 faucets at Belmont Public Schools have been shut off and labeled off-limits to students and staff because recent testing found high levels of lead, 6 at the Butler Elementary, 1 at Wellington Elementary, 2 at Burbank Elementary School, and 4 at Belmont High School, and 1 at the Chenery Middle School. In a December 14th email to parents, Superintendent John Phelan wrote the sampling was done this fall, testing at all 180 bubblers and faucets in Belmont Public School buildings per the Department of Environmental Protection, DEP, guidelines as a result of a grant Belmont applied for and received by the DEP. Town departments will partner to analyze the data and develop a plan moving forward, Phelan wrote in a December 16 email. In our continuing and ongoing conversations with the DEP regarding this process, we've been informed that there are still several samples awaiting results. We will update you if the test results show any additional faucets affected. In December 16th, letter to students and families and staff of Belmont Public Schools, Angela Braun, director of the health for Belmont Health Department, stated that lead is not believed to be in the town's municipal water supply, but plumbing and fixtures in the school buildings may contain lead, resulting in the lead in the tap water. Exposure to lead is a concern because lead is a toxic metal, which has a range of adverse health effects, Braun wrote in the letter. Braun advised parents to teach and instruct children not to fill water bottles or drink from public hand washing sinks and only use water fountains specifically designated for drinking water. It is unlikely that lead in drinking water at school facilities alone would cause staff or children to have significantly elevated blood level levels due to the total number of variables that contribute to overall exposure, said Braun. According to the Butler Elementary principal, Daniel Betancourt, in an email to parents on December 15th, the faucets in rooms 107, an LABBB classroom, 109, 206, 207, 208, and 209 had lead levels or above the 15 micrograms per liter level where DEP recommends action be taken. I do not yet have specific data for those faucets. In an abundance of caution, the drinking faucet in room 108 was also shut off as its levels were near the 15 microgram limit per liter, she wrote in the email to parents on December 15th. Belmont High School principal Daniel Richards sent an email to parents on December 15th informing them that one of the faucets was the Belmont High School boys' locker room. Chenery Middle School principal Michael McAllister also sent email to parents informing them of the faucets that were in Chenery classroom. In a subsequent email to parents on December 19th, Richards said the latest sample results concluded there are three additional locations at Belmont High School that exceed action levels: an outlet in the nurse's office, an outlet in the girls' locker room, and a second outlet in the boys' locker room. Burbank Elementary School principal Dr. Tricia Clifford identified two additional faucets, as one in room 304 and another in the library office book room of the school building. At Wellington Elementary, one faucet in the kitchen was decommissioned and will no longer be in use as a result of this testing, said Principal Amy Spangler in an email to parents. Upon learning about this faucet, I discussed the use of this particular sink with my entire kitchen team today. It is important to know that this sink has been primarily used as a hand washing station, not for food preparation. Phelan said the next level of work is to identify whether the issues exist in the faucets themselves or the pipes. That determination for each source will be evaluated, and a decision will be made to remedy the issue and turn the faucet back on or just decommission the faucet permanently. Given the limited number of faucets impacted, this options is feasible, said Phelan. All of the impacted faucets will be retested, and the town will update any and all protocols suggested by the DEP. Marion?
Always evolving and growing, co-owner of two consignment shops, keeps up with changing times and customer desires, by Joanna K. Zouvelis. Former Belmont resident, longtime realtor and retailer, Donata Barber has turned what was originally one business into two successful retail stores in Cushing Square. 5 years ago, she opened Uncommon Finds, 432 Common Street, Belmont, with six vendors under one roof, selling antique, consigned, and refurbished home and garden furnishings, accessories, jewelry, even fresh flowers. She soon expanded and opened Belmont Consignment just a few doors away at 454 Common Street, selling consigned furniture. As time went on, Barber added consigned men's clothing to the inventory at Belmont Consignment, and soon the store began to outgrow its space. Through a mutual friend, Barber met Diana Moore, a former nurse and floral designer from Boston, who had an idea for a store of her own, a men's consignment boutique. Together this past fall, the two women decided to transform Belmont Consignment into Barrow and Bates, a men's consignment store named after the valet and butler characters from the famous long-running PBS British series Downton Abbey. However, Belmont Consignment didn't close. Barbara decided to revamp Uncommon Finds, which has more space for furniture, into Belmont Consignment. The designs on the front on the storefronts have changed, but the co-owner of both stores is still Barbara. Lexington resident Julie Raymond, an interior designer, is co-owner of Belmont Consignment. It's all about keeping up with the changing times and offering a service to my regular customers, said Barber. She said customers love the new location of Belmont Consignment and the look of a furniture showroom instead of a more typical, cluttered, antique vintage store. Barber said another customer recently told her she was happy that the area was becoming Consignment Row. She's right. Cushing Square now has women's clothing, children's clothing, and furniture, men's clothing, furniture, and home accessories, all consignment. We are keeping up with the times. Hopefully, we will also have Cushing Village bringing life back to one quarter of the square, which has been closed up and looking very bleak for years, said Barber. Barrow and Bates is now fully stocked with consigned clothing for age 14 and up, for age 14 and up by designers, including suits, shirts, trousers, sweaters, coats, and jackets by Prada, Versace, Armani, Collezioni, Brooks Brothers, Burberry, J. Crew, Michael Kors, Balenciaga, G-Star, Patagonia, Vineyard Vines, Ralph Lauren, Calvin Klein, and Banana Republic. Briefcases, luggage, shoes, and ties can also be found at Barrow and Bates. My vision for Barrow and Bates is to offer the Belmont community a clothing store where men, demographic ages 14 to 90, can find handsome attire to wear without the high prices that for most are unaffordable or overpriced, said Moore. The clothing Moore accepts needs to be good quality, in excellent condition, less than 3 years old, and dry cleaned. Consigners get 40% of the sale. If items aren't sold after 60 days, the consigner can take them back or have the option for Barrow and Bates to donate unsold items to the Vietnam War veterans. Moore plans to also sell a line of new intimate and loungewear for men, as well as shaving and other men's toiletry products. She also hopes to expand Barrow and Bates into multiple locations in the Boston area. Martha?
Gamil fills vacant seat as Belmont representative on school committee by Joanna K. Tuvelis. Members of the Belmont Board of Selectmen have voted to appoint Jim Gamil to be the town's new representative to the Minuteman High School Committee, replacing Jack Weiss, who resigned in November after serving for 6 years. Weiss said he had decided it was best for him to resign since he was opposed to issuing Belmont's share of the debt for the school building project and recommended Belmont withdraw from the Minuteman district when the debt was approved. I felt that my ability to be an effective member of the Minuteman School Committee might be somewhat compromised, Weiss said. Consequently, I felt that it was in Belmont's interest to appoint a successor, particularly one who was not identified as being opposed to the building project. In my view, such a person would be better positioned to present Belmont's interest on the school committee over the next several years. Gamma was a strong proponent in favor of remaining a member of the district. He will serve as representative until June 2019, when the seat expires. Leave the Minuteman District as of July 1, 2020. Gamma will be eligible for reappointment to represent Belmont during the final year of membership. Gamble has lived in Belmont for 30 years and raised 4 children in the town. He has been a town member meeting member for Precinct 2 since 2012 and a warrant committee member since 2012. Expenses related to the new building project while it remains a member. Beyond that, I will work with the other members of the committee to help Minuteman be as successful, as accessible as possible. Minuteman's long-term success depends upon the school achieving its enrollment goals, managing its financial resources, and taking full advantage of its new regional agreement. What are your hopes for the future of vocational educational options for Belmont students? One way or another, I hope that the Belmont students will have access to the new Minuteman. In addition, I hope that Belmont students and their families appreciate that there are many different ways to acquire vocational training and business acumen, and that they seek out opportunities to do that. The Citizen Herald sat down with Gamma to find out about his goals and plans for his new role. What do you hope to accomplish as Belmont's representative on the Minuteman School Committee? My primary responsibility is to represent Belmont's interests between now and June 2020. In particular, I will watch the finances and make sure that Belmont is not assessed for any capital. Jonathan?
Belmont psychologist featured in health awareness campaign. Belmont psychologist Nathaniel Van Kirk is participating in a new mental health awareness and anti-stigma campaign expected to reach several million people. He, along with musicians, librarians, fashion designers, fitness instructors, actors, athletes, and artists, all of whom volunteered for the campaign and all of whom have all been affected by mental illness and its stigma, are brought together in a new photographic exhibit that debuted December 9th at Logan International Airport in Boston. The 235-foot gallery is located between terminals B and C, and plans are already underway to install similar exhibits at other airports. The participants' photos and stories can also be seen on the campaign's website. The exhibit is part of a national public awareness campaign sponsored by McLean Hospital, in collaboration with Logan Airport and several mental health advocacy groups, with the goal of changing the way mental illness is perceived. Deconstructing Stigma, A Change in Thought Can Change a Life, features larger-than-life photographs of people who have shared their stories with the hope of changing how people with psychiatric illness are viewed. Shame and stigma are still far too prevalent when it comes to psychiatric disease and can contribute to the fear and isolation many people feel. Deconstructing Stigma is an unprecedented effort to spark conversation about behavioral and mental health, said Scott L. Roche, president and psychiatrist-in-chief of McLean Hospital. Long before he became a psychologist, Van Kirk, at the age of 30, dealt with obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD. It started the summer before eighth grade when he attended a summer camp. What started out as a few drops of hand sanitizer quickly spiraled out of control. I would spend up to 6 hours a day washing my hands, explained Van Kirk. As he grew older, so did the types of rituals. In his later teens, he would constantly check to make sure he switched the stove off, terrified he would burn down the house. If he drove over a pothole, his mind pictured he had hit a person, and he would turn the car around again and again just to make sure he hadn't hurt anyone. I became overwhelmed by irrational fears of getting others pregnant with a mere touch, afraid I would be responsible for ruining their lives and potentially sending them to hell, he said. Even though I knew the fears didn't make sense, that didn't make them feel any less real. After years of seeking relief, Van Kirk eventually found a therapist he could connect with. Working together, they created a plan. Utilizing exposure and response prevention, Van Kirk learned to face his fears head on. He touched so-called contaminated items. If the car hit a bump, he stopped himself from looking in the rearview mirror. Soon he was setting and achieving goals on his own, slowly loosening the bonds of OCD. Despite the concerns about being labeled and risking further stigma, the volunteers in this project are sharing their stories of hope and resilience so that the public can have an opportunity to walk in their shoes and perhaps step away with a different view of what it's like to have mental illness. Martha?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Talking News. Please join us next week.